We prayed and we said, devil, you robbed the wrong family.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You're about to pay up. You know, right there in the driveway.
Yeah.
So by Monday morning or Monday afternoon, we had enough finances to fix the window, get a new door, get a new TV, and a motorcycle.
And we were actually talking about, you know, just that testimony is just so amazing, because God, when he says he's going to restore sevenfold, he truly has. Till this day, we have never had to buy a TV or a computer.
Never had to buy a motorcycle.
God is continually restoring.
But that part is so winning.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Winning Conversations. We have some Heritage OGs with us today, Jenny and Levy. How are y'all?
Doing well, thank you.
Good to see you. I mean, we see y'all all the time, but it's good to have you on the podcast.
We're honored to be here.
It's about time.
Yeah. I've had people ask when we were going to have them on the podcast.
Yeah, you guys have been on our list for a while.
Y'all are some fan favorites, okay? But,
there are some people that I wanted to get to camera first, and you were one of them.
Aww.
Because we love your faces.
Oh. So welcome season two.
Yeah, we get that a lot. It never gets old, you know? I will for her at least, you know. I have a radio face.
A radio face.
Oh, my God. So, y'all have been in Heritage for a long time.
Yes.
And we want to hear what all you've done here. What do you do now? Kind of your experience with Heritage.
This year will be, 20 years?
It's crazy.
Yes.
It's a long time.
Yes.
Part of Charity of Light, help do the ushering. I do the train ministry deal. Taking the kids around.
With the hat on.
Yeah. The whole nine, the overalls. Yeah. Did that. And we're also Thrive Leaders.
Mm-hmm. And I do women's ministry. Mm-hmm. I've pretty much done, I think, a lot of different roles.
I mean, 20 years.
Yeah. But I did the kids ministry for a long time. Now I do the women's ministry, outreach for women. Mm-hmm. And I do Pastor Ned's armor bearing. So
now that's a kind of a unique role. And you've done that for how many years?
It'll be 10 years this year, actually. Wow. In October, it will be 10 years that I've been doing that with Pastor Annette.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like a bit of an insider term. Like, people don't quite understand that. Will you explain what Armor Bearer is, what your role is?
My role for Pastor Annette is just to come alongside her and support the call of God on her life and help in any way I can for them to fulfill the vision God has given them for the house. So if that includes, you know, getting props for her teachings. Or
she loves props.
She does love her props. Mm-hmm. You know, praying for her family, her family time, her time with the Lord, just covering all aspects of ministry on the call that God has for her. And so that is the role.
Why, for people who don't know, why is that necessary?
It goes along with protecting the anointing on her, because if she's focused on all these other things, then she can't minister to the body of Christ. She can't spend that quality time with the Lord that she needs to be able to bring us those rich messages, you know.
Yeah.
But so I make sure that all that other stuff is done as much as I can, so that way she can just focus on that aspect of bringing us the word, ministering to us at her church. Her church body, and just focusing on that, and that protects the anointing on her and what God has called her to do.
How did you start doing that?
Well, I started by just pretty much serving. She used to do a lot of the Bible studies for the women, and she would be the one going doing all the grocery shopping and everything. So I was like, she doesn't need to be doing that before she has to teach. So we got like five girls together, and we just started doing that, doing all the shopping for the meetings. And so that way she could just focus on her time, you know, getting ready for the sessions. And then I got a call, I don't know how many years after that. I think 2015 is when somebody called me and said, hey, she called me and said, hey, I'd like you to take this role of being my armor bearer. And I had learned a little bit about it, but I didn't know much about it. So I got a book and I started learning about it. And I was like, yeah, I'd be honored to do that. And so,
awesome.
And so we've developed now a team of about 15 women that come alongside her, and we help with other aspects to, so that way she's able to do what she needs to do. you know.
That's awesome. It's a beautiful thing. Yes. It's really neat to watch the fivefold ministry do what they're called to do. Mm-hmm. And God puts people like you in places to help protect that anointing, to help them do what they're supposed to do. So, like, the biblical reference is always, you know, David and Saul carrying the armor. Exactly. And stuff like that, just so we can give some context to that. But your story doesn't start there.
No, it doesn't.
It starts in a faraway land, right? Yes. Where are you from originally?
Originally from Kenya.
I'm Texan. I just tell people I'm Texan, so and I stick with it. Don't sound like it, but yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So tell us how y'all got here, and then you weren't raised as a Christian, right? Either of you, right?
No.
Yeah.
But for us, we had the biblical material, and I'd see the Kenneth Copeland little pamphlets at the house and stuff, but I knew nothing about it. And everything happened when we moved to Dodge City in Kansas. In Kansas, yeah. But I was in Tulsa for a while, and you know how Tulsa is.
No.
No, you don't. Okay.
I don't.
It's a Bible Belt. It's what they call it. Oops, I just goofed up. Little Mecca. And everybody was witnessing to me and all that, so I started watching a little bit of TBN. And one night I was watching TBN, and this preacher came on, and he preached a sermon, Fire and Brimstone stuff, and I said, man, I better get born again. I don't want to go to hell. So that's what I did. Did the salvation prayer. And I knew something changed, but I wasn't quite sure what the whole deal was.
Yeah.
And that's how the journey started.
And I remember he called me because I was still in Kenya, and he told me, oh, I've got saved. And I was like, saved from what? And he started explaining all this. And I was like, you know what, brother? I don't have time for this. And so we kind of just, you know, there was just a difference in our relationship from that point. And we've been together since high school. And so there was just kind of something different. And so within
that you could tell in him?
In our conversations.
Yeah, these conversations kind of went a different way, you know. Yeah. I can't be talking about partying and stuff like that, you know. So it was like, can't talk about nothing else. But
all right, bye.
Yeah, because that was my whole life. We didn't really go to church regularly. Mm-hmm. And so we were taken to Catholic school, so I kind of identified with the Catholic faith. So, and that one, to me, was easy. You go in, you'd be like, hey, I've sinned. They tell you, go do your rosary, you're good. You go back to partying. So I was like, hey, this works for me, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but... not really having any knowledge of what it is to have a relationship with God or what that means, you know. So I had no point of reference when you talk about, you know, faith and being born again and any of that. So.
But a lot of it happened when we moved to, when I moved to Kansas, opened up a business up there. And that's when I started getting really into it, like really understanding the word, walking the word, and, you know, walking out the word.
What was it about it that drew you to it, though? After watching that and then getting saved, what motivated you to keep learning about it?
I started seeing happy Christians. For the longest time, anybody who was a Christian looked miserable and kind of like, why? You know, you claim to be happy, but you really don't look happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching, at the time I didn't know, but it was a minister riding a motorcycle in the middle of the aisle at a believers' convention, and I thought, that's the way church should start.
That's cool, yeah.
And it just happened to be Brother Jerry. Yeah, yeah. And I just thought it was the most radical thing. I thought, man.
And it was Dr. Seville?
Yeah. But at the time, I wasn't, you know.
You didn't know.
Didn't know. I just thought, this is cool.
Did you ride motorcycles then?
No.
Or you just, that?
That was one of the seeds that was planted.
Interesting. Because
at the time, we were being mentored by Jeannie Dederman and Don Dederman.
Well, him and his sister, I wasn't there yet. So whenever I moved to Dodge, I would go and help him in the mall, and this Jeannie Dederman would come and witness to me. Because, you know, they say that the Lord pursues you, and I'm telling you, God told her that I was her assignment. So so she would always come looking for me every day to tell me about this man called Jesus.
But you
Jesus.
Still weren't, committed
oh,
yet.
Oh, no, I was, still partying, and, you know. And
I
he
had
was
a store in the mall, and she was easy to find.
So. Yes. So he would be going to church, and I would still be partying, and so, but he would still be, praying for me to, you know, change my ways. But I was like, I'm not having it, and so.
So what did it?
Well, one day, after he continued to invite me, I said, okay, I'll go to this church of yours if you first take me to Catholic church.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I hadn't been to Catholic church in I don't know how many years, like 20 years, but I was like, that day I had to go. Mm-hmm. And so that morning, I think it was like at 9, we went to the Catholic church. And then at 10 o'clock.
Abundant Life Church.
Abundant Life Church.
Wow.
And that's why I say, shout out to Abundant Life.
Shout out.
Yeah. But that's why I say,
Jim and Lydia Ames. Oh, man.
Yeah. But everybody was part of my story, from the people from greeting, because that's where it started. Just from the door, you know, in Catholic church, they don't know, no one touches you or talks to you. It's more like you go, you do your thing, and you're out, you know.
Yeah.
And here there were people, you know, from the front, loving and hugging me, and I'm like, they're touching me. I don't like this.
I don't know about this.
Yeah. And so, but I knew there was something different.
Yeah.
So that
right.
I didn't go every time, but I started kind of, you know, tagging along with him whenever he went. And so one Sunday was a guest speaker, because they did an altar ministry every Sunday. But that day they didn't. And so I told Jeannie, I was like, I was ready to do that thing today.
Darn, didn't happen.
Salvation prayer.
And then she's like, let's get it done now. I was like, now here? She's like, yeah. So I just received the Lord in March. And we talked to the pastors about getting married, and because now, of course, he was like, check.
Because you need God in a marriage.
She was like, check.
Yeah, true. You definitely need God in a marriage.
Yeah, and a month later, we were married.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's so neat.
22 years ago.
Yeah, 22.
Beautiful.
Ryan did the same thing for me, if y'all remember our episode. Like, I got saved, and we were, like, engaged and married, like, in four months. So it is important to be, like, unified with God in your marriage.
You gotta love godly men.
Yes. And it was the walk and a journey, because, of course, he had already been, you know, born again for a while.
He was learning,
but I was, like, fresh. So I was still, you know, battling the flesh with the spirit.
Sure.
Like everybody does.
It was, those months were entertaining, to say the least.
Yeah.
It was fun, because you're working adventures in faith, right?
Yeah, yes. It was an adventure in faith.
We learned a lot from that couple.
Yes.
Because they took us in, and they taught us a lot, and also from the church.
Yeah, we did a lot of the discipleship classes. They would talk to us about attending all the discipleship classes. And that's actually, one of them had that armor bearer class in it as well.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So that was interesting.
And service.
Seed planted.
A lot of seeds were planted.
And that's how we heard about a lot of the different ministers that that we would visit here in Texas, because every time we'd come to see family in Texas, because a lot of the family were living here in Texas at the time.
A lot of your family?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were not church, so whenever we come down here, we'd be like, we need to go to church, and be like, what's up with these weirdos, you know? You want to go to church? What's up with that? But
So we'd look for, like, somebody we'd heard at Abundant Life that we'd do a curriculum for, would be like, let's go to their church. So that's how we kind of just would come and visit.
And whenever we'd be here, we'd go to a church, church.
And so one Sunday, I came in. And that was, it was in May, where my mom had come to visit, and we were like, I was coming, and he couldn't come because it was a busy season for us at the business. So I came, and that's the year we were coming to Heritage for the first time. Yeah. So we came, and I was like, I just knew God was like,
She called me, and she goes, oh, man, Levy, check. Praise and worship was awesome. Service was awesome. And I was like, and guess what? I was like, what? They had motorcycles parked out there. But and by this time, I was really into it, right? And
And I knew we were supposed to come here.
Yeah.
So that's how y'all got here?
Yeah.
By your visit?
The visit. And
yeah, and right before that was a guest speaker had come to church, and he mentioned something about finding a home church first. Before moving, you know, if you're moving for family or work or whatever it is, make sure you find a home church first. So when she called me and told me about that, it was confirmation.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we have a home church now.
Yeah, and we're like, yeah.
So it's all good. Now we can look for everything else around, you know, work and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
But your family weren't going here yet.
No one was going here.
No one was.
That was our first time to visit was that day. And then the Lord was like, oh, this needs to be a home church. And so when we went back, we were like, okay, let's start the process of getting. So I went ahead and did my resume and I made a mistake on my resume because I did it in a hurry. I forgot to put the last digit of my phone number. So the company
was a 9, by the way.
Yeah, it was a 9. But the company kept
calling. How do you remember that?
I know.
It was just waiting. It was
waiting. We're like, okay.
Why aren't they calling?
Yeah. But the company had called and they kept leaving messages on every single digit until the number. And they're like, we want to interview you. And so I did like a panel interview over the phone. And then they forgot to hang up on their side. And they were like, we're going to offer her the job.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, yeah, yeah. So I got to even know before they called me to give me an official offer. I know.
Yeah. It was still a God thing.
Yeah, God. Yeah, everything. Yeah.
And we tell people, we're moving to Crowley.
What?
And, but it was awesome. It was a.
And was it just like a domino effect with the rest of the family?
Yeah, when we ended up moving, because we went, God, yet again, when he gives you a vision to move, he provides everything that you need. So even I got my bonus check early from my boss at the time, and that was like, it was supposed to be December that that was gonna, but I was moving in September, and she gave me my bonus check. She's like, here, and so everything just kind of lined up for me to move. And so when we came,
and all the fixtures at the jewelry store, the fixtures I had sold easy.
I mean, it was like clear out miracles upon miracles.
Just sold the car.
You just knew.
You knew God was calling you here.
Yeah.
Everything just worked out perfectly. And
so then we came, and we'd go and witness to our family when we moved. We'd end up going every Saturday to talk to them about Jesus and witness to them, invite them to church. And one weekend, Levy said, we're not doing that anymore. We're not going and hounding them, you know, because, you know, about
sometimes
coming.
He gets frustrated when the Christian jumps in front of you.
He's like, let's just, he's planted the seed. We have to just trust God. And I was like, okay. And so I remember one time that Dr. Seville was teaching, and he was like, and right now, family members are even coming into the church.
As I speak,
and here comes Shex and G walking in the church as he said that. I know.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, it was.
That's when you know that you know you're in the right place. And before we moved there, we talked to the pastors at the old church, and one thing they told us is once you get there, stay planted.
Yeah.
Be planted, and that's exactly what we did. Find a spot, serve, and stay planted.
We're
always honored that.
And your whole family.
Yeah. Now in
the kingdom.
Yeah. Yes. So that just like, we thought we were moving for me and Levy, but God had a bigger picture in mind. Yeah. He was thinking of the whole family.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So everybody just, slowly, everybody just, the kids. I mean, it's just been miraculous. Yeah.
And now y'all are like half the church.
We are many.
Yeah, we are many.
Yeah, we don't go to restaurants anymore.
We shut those down on Sunday afternoon.
A city for how many? 22. Nah.
Oh, my gosh.
They're like, no, that's, so.
That's amazing.
Yes. What I love about your family is it's like your family, but then you like, you just expand the definition of family. You're like, no, your family too. We're family too.
Yes.
Like we, Shex and us, we all had kids at the same time, and they're like, y'all are family. Like, come on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's something we did, you know, we'd find, you know, new members at church, like Thanksgiving, and they can't go back to New York or wherever, and be like, man, just come hang out with us, and they become family. So stuff like that.
It's very true. I'm thinking about it. I'm like, the whole family has been connected with us in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But God is all incredible. About people, and he's about one big family. Yeah. And so, you know. That's
what was the name of your friend in
Jeannie Dederman.
Jeannie Dederman.
And Don Dederman.
Don Dederman, he's in heaven right now.
Yeah.
Think about the gift that they were to the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. They ministered to you guys, and they probably ministered to hundreds of other people. But the domino effect, like
absolutely.
You said, that it brought this whole family.
Absolutely.
To the Lord. And now y'all are serving. I mean, it's not like y'all aren't just in church. You guys are like the church.
The
You're
church.
Part of the church.
Yeah.
You're your hands are in so many different things. So it's pretty incredible that one that one ping pong ball.
That is so true. And we always, we honor that. Because we know God definitely chose them to, and that church to be our starting point. And so we always make sure every year we go back and see all our family back there. And so, you know.
And he got me into motorcycles too.
Yeah. So
that's pretty cool. He's the one that really sowed that seed big time, because he had built his chopper and everything, and he was, you know, showing me on a Christmas morning, and he started it, had me sit on it, put a do-rag on me, and the anointing, the motorcycle anointing, just
no motorcycle anointing.
That was it. Motorcycle anointing.
Yeah. And then a few months later, I see the video I was telling you about this preacher riding his motorcycle in the middle of the aisle, and I thought,
that's what connected you.
Everything was just.
Yeah, that's what connected you, and God does that. He talks to you in a way that you will understand.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And actually, he actually even bought a shirt for Chariots of Light because he thought it was cool looking, not recognizing that all of it. No, he didn't know. He didn't know that they were all connected in the beginning. So when we got here, all these things connected.
Everything
up and made
sense. Like, oh, we have this shirt and Chariots of Light. And it was just, I mean,
God. I never knew that.
Yeah.
I mean, amazing. The one motorcycle story I always remember, because this is my first, the first time I remember knowing who y'all were, is it was, I think, I want to say 2010.
Yeah.
You guys had a break-in at your house, right?
Yes.
Had a bunch of stuff stolen. So I remember learning who you all were, and the church prayed for you and sowed into you. And then tell us what else happened that day.
Yeah, it was, I was actually coming to pick up Ralphie here at the daycare, and she called me and goes, did you leave the door open? And I go, no, door's not open. So she walks in. Oh, goodness. The TV's not here.
My computer is gone.
The laptop is not here. Yeah. It had pictures and everything. Like, the window's broken.
Yeah.
The back window was broken. I thought, oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
It says, so we called the cops. And
they came.
We walked out the driveway. Ralphie was real little. He was like, 2 years old at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two-year-old. And we all held hands, and we prayed, and we said, devil, you've robbed the wrong family.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You're about to pay up. You know, right there in the driveway. And we did the whole statement thing and all that, and then came to church on Sunday. We didn't think, very few people knew about it.
No, we had like a few family that knew. That,
mine,
and I think that morning when we got there, I think somebody had mentioned to the pastors, because I think they were looking for us. And so I think they mentioned to the pastor something about our break-in. Mm-hmm. And so I guess, but Dr. Savelle had already had it on his heart to bless Levy that morning. So whenever he heard about the break-in, it was just like another.
Even more,
And so whenever he called.
Everybody was sewing and everything.
Yeah, so
he's
then
bawling. I'm in shock.
Yeah.
Everybody just.
I remember all of
that.
So and then when I'm about to walk to my seat, Brother Jerry goes, oh, and Levy, I got one more thing for you. And he hands me the title to the motorcycle. And I go, man.
Absolutely.
And I said, and then
this is a good church.
Right?
Yes, it is.
It's a good church.
Awesome, man. That's why it's family.
Absolutely.
And the TV was replaced by one guy who used to be in this church, but I moved to New York, had his stuff in storage. And he goes, I know that couple. I guess he watched online or somehow he knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he called and he goes, I have a TV in the storage. And I heard their TV just got stolen, so I'm going to bless them with the TV.
Yeah.
So by Monday morning or Monday afternoon, we had enough finances to fix the window, get a new door, get a new TV, and finances and a motorcycle.
And we were actually talking about, you know, just that testimony is just so amazing because God, when he says he's going to restore sevenfold, he truly has. Till this day, we have never had to buy a TV or a computer.
Never had to buy a motorcycle.
Or a motorcycle. God is continually restoring.
But that part is sowing.
But that's how God does it. When he says, you know, the enemy, you know, he restores fully.
Yeah.
And so we still get blessed with TVs and computers. And it's like, thank you, know. And motorcycles.
Don't forget the motorcycle.
So God has been so faithful. Yeah.
It
so
sounds
good.
Like he's been really faithful to y'all. Yes. You guys are
good.
Incredible examples of what God does with people. No matter where we're at in life, he always is drawing us near. And you guys are an example of what God can do in a life.
Absolutely.
In the lives of a family that just, it like multiplied. Like everything in your life has multiplied.
It's a sermon people see.
That statement.
It's a sermon that people see. Yeah, you know?
That's good.
It's one thing to just talk about it, but once they see it.
Yeah.
Which kind of leads me to the next question I have for y'all, which is, you know, the sermon you can see. What we do at church, you guys know this, you've been here longer than I have, probably not longer than you, but is making winners in life. That's kind of, and that's what y'all are. So would you guys take a second and define what that statement means to y'all?
For me, I think it's seeing other people win and being a little part of, like, even if it's encouraging someone to go for it. And a perfect example is a friend of mine always wanted to be a cop, and encourage him. I was part of a little bit of his winning in life. So that, to me, helping somebody else.
That's good.
Being part of somebody else's
winning.
Victory, winning.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's good.
Yeah, and I think mine is similar to his alignment with what he said, is completing the assignment that God has placed on your life. And that will always, I think, involve people, you know, because God is all about pursuing people. And so I think that for me, winning in life is doing the thing that God has told you, especially when it comes to, you know, being intentional with the people God has put in your lives. And he reminded me, like, every action that you do today is a legacy you leave for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So it's so important that what we do every day and being intentional about following God's, you know, those nudges that he tells you, talk to that person or do this. And we're thinking, oh, we're fulfilling their assignment, but truly God is fulfilling what he's called us to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what winning is.
Yeah. Good.
Oh, those are such solid answers.
Yeah.
Every time. It always amazes me how that one question can just multiply, just like y'all have. Thank you guys for being on our show.
Oh, thank you. We are so honored to be here.
It's lots of fun.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Yes. Good stuff.
we're really thankful y'all are part of our church family. And we thank you guys for watching and being part of our Winning Conversations family. Don't forget to join us on Instagram. We have a Winning Conversations Instagram page. Of course, we're on our Heritage of Faith YouTube page. So any of the episodes, if you've ever missed any of them, you can go back and catch them on the playlist. They're all there. This Amazing Couple is there now. And we're just grateful for our church family and for being able to do this,
Thank
this podcast.
Thank you so much for having us. We're honored to be here.
You guys are a blessing.
That's pretty cool.
We'll have to have you back for another section. So anyway, we'll see you later. Have a great week.